That is the Wizard, Ozzie Smith. He was at the announcement today that MLS is coming to St. Louis, and now we head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker, and the person that has worked the longest in the successful pursuit of an MLS franchise here in St. Louis is Jim Cavanaugh, co-founder of a Worldwide Technology. He's with us now, taking a few minutes of his time. They've got a great event going on over at Urban Chestnut, a happy hour. Jim, thanks for taking some time with us, and again, congratulations.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Randy.
Jim, I've got to imagine that there are plenty of emotions on a day like today. And I know that the finish line moved a couple of times. There were ups and downs through this process, but you have to be over the moon today.
No, you said it well. There's been a lot of ups and downs and moving of goal lines through this process. But I'll tell you, to see all the different people, from civic leaders to political leaders, to, you know, fan base supporters, just, you know, people, you know, sports professional ex-athletes that were here, just a number of people that showed from different backgrounds and area, and coming in with, you know, smiles on their face and just so excited. It has absolutely made the entire effort worthwhile and very, very satisfying. So very excited.
Obviously, you did not find out about it just today. So when you did know this was going to happen, how difficult was that to kind of keep it under wraps as long as you had to?
No, we actually didn't know until he came in today. We didn't know until he announced it. No, I'm just kidding.
You had me going. I totally believed you.
No, we actually, you know, we've been working with them quite closely and presented to the expansion committee and to the overall board of directors or board, you know, of ownership for the league. And, you know, as much as we tried to keep everything under wraps, it was still difficult. The cat was kind of getting out of the bag. So, and that's okay. We just wanted to make sure that we did it at the right time and we had everything nailed down before, you know, really going public. But, you know, it has been hard to keep under wraps, and but because it's so exciting and there's so many people that are asking and interested, which is, you know, all the reasons why we're doing this.
Jim Cavanaugh, Worldwide Technologies, and a part of the ownership group for MLS in the Lou. Jim, the commissioner today talked about how he never gave up on St. Louis. You had the bid with Paul Edgerly and the vote lost. Did you ever have a point where you thought, man, this isn't going to happen?
You know, it was not exactly a high moment when the vote got voted down, but there were just a lot of different things going on that, you know, made it very difficult to get the vote to move forward. Like, you know, we didn't have the governor at that point supporting us, and they actually said some things that were counterproductive, I think, to everybody. You know, going through that process, as many people have asked, we did not have a plan B or a contingent plan. And, you know, we gave it everything we got. And, you know, but that being said, you know, playing the game of soccer at multiple levels, running a business and growing a business over the years, you don't let one thing get you down. And, you know, you just don't give up when something doesn't go your way. You got to keep fighting and grinding through it. And when you do that, sometimes good things happen and opportunities present themselves, just like for whatever reason, you know, there are different reasons. The governor moved on, and, you know, Andy and Lee Broughton called me and, you know, wanted to get some insight in regards to, you know, what was the process, what would it really take to do this? And we started having that conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, round two is starting to take place. And, you know, we took, I think, a lot of the lessons learned from the first time through and tried to factor it into the second round, and we just got better and smarter.
Jimmy already mentioned that St. Louis has been a soccer hotbed, and the, you know, the history that has been here has been unbelievable, and it just made sense. And I know that youth soccer is already big in St. Louis, but I'd have to imagine, with having an MLS team starting up here, that youth sports and the interest in soccer is just going to grow exponentially. I mean, this is going to make an impact for generations.
No question about it. This is, you know, it's a long time coming for St. Louis. you know, as much of a soccer history and the, you know, just the heritage we have, and the number of players coming out of St. Louis, it's a long time coming, and I think we've got a lot of things that we'll benefit from, you know, having a soccer community that is well educated on the game. They're very passionate about the game, and I think, you know, they're really looking forward to supporting, you know, the team and the league, and there's a lot of growth opportunity within soccer in the United States and globally. So we think, you know, there's so much opportunity in front of us, and St. Louis is uniquely positioned to take advantage of that.
What is your vision for what an ideal soccer game day is going to look like here in St. Louis?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I see it's going to start actually multiple days before the game, with a lot of people preparing, you know, both the team to make sure that they're prepared. But a big focus of ours, and I think watching and looking at lessons learned through the different MLS teams out there, and actually, you know, a lot of the different European teams. I've spent a lot of time going to a number of different games over in Europe. And, you know, it's about creating just an incredible experience for the fan base and your community. And that's all about, you know, putting the stadium in the right location that has mass transit, that it's connected to the city and into, you know, a more dense population. So you can create that experience not only inside the stadium, but you can create a buzz that starts early in the morning around the stadium with people in different bars and restaurants and hotels. And, you know, with us having Union Station next to us, with a lot of things Bob O'Loughlin's doing with the aquarium and the Ferris wheel, you know, all of those things are synergistic to creating an incredible game day experience.
Couple more things for Jim Cavanaugh. I want to ask about youth soccer, because you're heavily involved, have been heavily involved for years with youth soccer in the area. And it seems like, as opposed to some other sports, especially here in St. Louis, that's a great place to cultivate a young fan base. You talked about synergy with fans. The synergy with youth soccer in St. Louis can be really valuable for this franchise, can it?
No, absolutely. And, you know, a big part of the MLS's focus, and U.S. Soccer Federation's focus, is to figure out how to continue to enhance and improve on their player development process. And that means connecting with players at a very young level and incorporating and getting them closer to experienced coaches. And that involves not just in the suburbs, but inner city kids. And that's a big focus that we're going to have. And that's one that U.S. Soccer and the MLS has throughout the United States, is to make those connections. Fortunately, here in St. Louis, we have had just an incredible youth program that spans a number of different clubs within the community that continue to produce, you know, high quality players. And we want to tap into that and help enhance that as we move forward. So very excited, Randy, to connect closely to those clubs and player development process.
When and how will the team get a name, and do we get to pick it?
Absolutely. We're going to do that right here.
And okay.
It's going to be a couple of us. This is going to be a process we're going to go through. It's we get a lot of input on this, a lot of input on the name, a lot of input on could be logo design, colors, and what, you know. So we're going to start, you know, I would say assembling our team to work closely with these different groups and come up with that. I would say that's going to be one of the things higher on our list here. But we also need to concurrently put together our leadership team. And now with the announcement, you're going to see us start, I would say over the next couple of months, announce different full-time employees that we're bringing on that will help drive and operationalize a number of the things that we're talking about.
All right, Jim, as a newfound St. Louis soccer fan, that would be myself as of, you know, a couple of hours ago, who should I start talking trash to? I mean, who do you want a rivalry with the most? I'll start stirring it up for you.
That's a great question, and that's exactly what we want, too. I've already had discussions with Cliff Illig, who is the lead owner for Sporting KC. And he is really looking forward to that. He sees this as a great opportunity to create in the soccer world these derbies, that, you know, these competitive environments with teams that are in close proximity. So we look forward. KC is definitely one. I would see Chicago being another, and you know, it could be even Nashville. So a number of these teams that are within striking distance are going to be teams that we're going to want to start creating and a buzz at all levels and doing some so-called trash talking.
Jim, we've had a few people who have texted in and want to know what happens with St. Louis FC now.
Yeah, that's something, you know, we have been highly focused on trying to secure MLS and doing everything we need to do to get this locked down. And so that's been our top priority. Now the next focus is going to be to figure out, you know, what is that cascading structure that we're going to have that starts with MLS and then cascades down all the way into youth soccer and how connected those things are. So at this point, we are now going to start digging into that and working with the powers to be to get, you know, the most, call it, insight into what their vision is. And that would both be working with MLS and USL. Which are two different leagues who have been collaborating and working together in the past. So we want to really get connected with them before we can lock down and communicate our strategy moving forward.
Jim, finally, I want to know what the coolest thing about the last couple of weeks, as you found out and approached today, has been, because I know you have really deep roots in the community, and we've talked about the philanthropic things that you and Worldwide have done, but you have deep roots in the soccer community. You're a soccer fan. You've worked really hard at this on several fronts. So out of all of this, what's been the most gratifying aspect for you?
Yeah, it's a great point. Great question, Randy. I would say what's gratifying is just seeing so many different people from so many different walks of life come together and come out and support, you know, our collective effort and what the collective ownership team has been trying to do here. So, you know, to see people from different ethnic backgrounds, different social backgrounds, different cultures, that's really inspiring. And then, you know, just to top it off with this morning, just to kind of sit back and look around the room and see the number of people that they were there. And like I said, from so many different walks of life that are really passionate about this. And the other thing that I just think is incredibly exciting, as much as I love the game of soccer and I'm passionate and I had the good fortune of playing it at multiple levels growing up, this is going to really positively impact our community. And there's so many good things going on downtown. There's $8 billion in construction projects like we've never seen. You know, like you said, the things going on at Union Station, Arch to the Park. This is just another, I would say, strategic piece of the puzzle that is going to be very complementary and synergistic to everything that's going on in St. Louis. So I think we just need to keep coming together and working together to make St. Louis a great place, you know, for everybody to live, work, and play. So that's probably the most gratifying thing.
Well, I know I speak on behalf of these guys and sports fans in St. Louis to thank you for your efforts, and we can't be more excited, and we're looking forward to these next few years until we get to that opening kickoff of that opening game.
You got it. Thank you, Randy. I really appreciate you guys having me on today.
Thanks, Jim. Take care. Have a good evening. That is the great Jim Cavanaugh, and what that company does. And I've said this, I said it to Anthony earlier. It used to be that everything that we needed, I've said this on our show before, but I want to reiterate this. Before Anheuser-Busch was sold about a decade ago, they did everything for our town. If our town needed something, Anheuser-Busch would do it. Need somebody to leave the Cardinals who are about to leave town, Anheuser-Busch buys them. Need somebody to help facilitate the Blues, Anheuser-Busch will take care of it. Need a student center at St. Louis University or a building at Wash U or something for the zoo, Anheuser-Busch would take care of it. Well, they're gone now as an entity that is a headquarters, and the big money decisions aren't made there. So now our go-to are those two companies, Worldwide Technology and Emerson. And it's so fitting to me that those two companies are the ones that step to the forefront and bring MLS to St. Louis. And like he said, this is going to be just so big for the community.
It's going to be great. People are excited about it. People are pumped up. And again, you don't have to be a soccer fan.
No.
Hand raised to be happy about this. And I am fully on board to getting drug into soccer. And to be a part of it. I know the family's going to be into it. My kids are going to be excited about it. And any
your kids
parent,
are going to be St. Luligans.
You think so?
Yeah.
They start them that early?
Oh, yeah.
My son's six.
Yep, he can be
they
a part of it.
They have six-year-old Luligans?
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
They're great.
He'd be down for that.
I'm going to caution you, though, because I don't think you want to be drugged.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
You don't know how I get down. No, you're probably right.
Yeah. You don't want somebody else to do it for you.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Being brought into then, brought into the fold.
I got you.
If you will.
That makes sense.
Not drug in.
Yeah.
Drugged in.
This is a very busy day for Jim Cavanaugh, so we really do appreciate his time with us here in the Fast Lane. Next up, we want to hear from you about the Cardinals being in first place. Is that a good thing? Is it a mirage? Or are you just angry that you aren't right? We want to, and hey, you can be anonymous about this if you want. Use your mic drops or use the 101 ESPN. The text line, 65780.
No, you may not be anonymous. You have to give us your address.
Oh, yeah. That's,
yeah,
and
that's
social.
And phone number.
And pets' names.
And tweets.
So and
favorite numbers.
I guess we could simply ask this question. Are you capable of happiness? Your mic drops next on 101 ESPN. Okay, so they're trying to hide a dead body, and being in first place eliminates the stench.
That's a little, that's dark.
Oh, you love that guy.
It is one way to look at it.
That's your kind of people.
BT, I don't like dead bodies. I don't want to be around them.
Yeah.
Nobody wants, well, I was about to say nobody wants to be around a dead body, but
there's
such a thing as necrophilia.
They got problems.
They do. They have, that's.
Some people put them in their freezer.
Ted Bundy. Oh, yeah. We had something really we shouldn't get into it, but it happened here in St. Louis.
Oh,
you heard about the lady
musical?
Yeah.
Yes. No, she had hidden a baby in her freezer for like 40 years or something.
That was not good at all.
And she's dead.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Way to bring that down.
Your mic drops. Patrick on 101 ESPN.
I'm happy that we're first place, but if the Cardinals make it deep into the playoffs or even make it to the World Series, they might be the most boring damn team I have ever seen make it so deep. Talk about a snooze fest. None of these players excite me, and they put down the one guy I was excited for, Rosarena. Come on, bring him back up.
Now.
Right now, because I'm bored.
He was so good.
So tired of being in first place, too. It's the worst. Hate it. I get it. I understand. Even if they make a deep run in the playoffs, they're still boring. Okay, what are they going to win? Some 2-1 ball games? It's like you hit home runs sometimes.
It's like those people who hit the golf ball right down the middle.
Oh, my
so
God.
Boring.
Grandpa golf.
Yeah.
Wow.
So boring.
I like to see the course.
I will disagree with him. I do think it's fun to win playoff games, regardless of what your team looks like.
The 1983 White Sox under Tony La Russa, I think, had the winning ugly moniker.
It was the winning ugly team.
I think
that's correct.
Tony took some people to task. He says, nothing ugly about winning.
That's correct. I will agree with that.
Yeah.
We won 9 of 11. You're pissed off all day.
Who's mad?
You're for you.
Here's what you guys do. I'm telling you I'm in the middle here. I think it's great they're in first place, but I also see some potential problems, and that's okay. That's not me being unhappy. It doesn't have to be one way or the other. It can be a realistic point of view in the middle.
The Dodgers have potential problems. Everybody has potential problems.
Well, I would rather have the Dodgers' problems.
Well, theirs is more of an accident.
And to be honest, somebody did text in and pointed this out. The Cardinals are closer to the Pirates' record than they are the Dodgers, which is true. So.
Right, yeah, but there are a lot of teams. That would be the Cubs are also closer, and the Nationals are closer.
Yep.
The Dodgers are head and shoulders better than people until they get to the World Series.
What would happen if you would play a best of seven series and go 4-3 against the team that you were playing?
You'd win the series. Oh. It could be boring, depending on who's watching. But
if I'm not mistaken, the Cardinals are 4-3 against the Dodgers this year.
Oh,
well, that's a regular season.
Hey, Randy, you know I'm just
so it only applies to the Dodgers being so far ahead. It doesn't apply to the Cardinals' performance against the Dodgers.
Randy, real quick, I'm Team Sunshine at Lollipops. I wouldn't use that.
It's a bit of a stretch.
No, it's just
things changed.
Throw the regular season out the window, because I think every rational person can agree. Sure, the Dodgers are prohibitive favorites in the National League over everybody, over the Braves and the Nationals and the Cardinals, the three teams with the immediate record after them. But that being said, the 2001 Seattle Mariners won 116 games, more games than anybody ever won during the regular season.
Exciting.
Lost
game.
In the first round.
That sucks. Right. Well, I think there's clearly there's a recognition that can happen. Everybody understands that can happen, but you can also look at the two teams side by side and realize which one is clearly very much better than the other one.
And that's,
there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you a bad fan, or
that's the Dodgers and versus 14 other franchises, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's go to Mike on 101 ESPN.
How in the world I got a line with Chris Ronji? I'll never know. This has got to be the only time. I can be happy about them winning 9 of 11. I can hope they get lucky and win the World Series. I even said it on another mic drop. I hope they win the World Series, and I hope they blow the whole thing up and realize that the process is wrong. So you praise the process, right? The process is wrong. It's been wrong. It's been wrong for years. So I'm happy about them winning, but I still think they're wrong.
And that's the essence of what I'm talking about. Because even if they win, this guy will think that they're wrong and he'll be unhappy.
I don't understand how the process can be wrong if you win a World Series. I don't get how the process is wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, driving home drunk can work for you. That doesn't mean it's a process.
That's a horrible comp.
It isn't. It's a perfect comp because you don't want to.
The goal the entire time is to win a World Series.
The goal is to get home, too, but you don't want to drive home drunk.
But here's the thing.
I have no idea how that.
By definition, if you win the World Series, your process is right.
Well, because you're saying just because it works, that means it's the correct process,
yeah.
And I don't think that's not true.
This isn't winning a World Series is not you got lucky for 15 minutes on your way home. It is it is rounds upon rounds of winning baseball games and figuring out how to beat the best teams out there. There's got to be something to it. If you win the World Series, that can't be like driving drunk and making it home.
Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, was their process right or was the Blues' process right? Tampa Bay had one of the greatest regular seasons in the history of hockey.
Well, their process surely was right, but that doesn't mean that only one of them can be right.
No, neither
the process can be right for both of them at the same time.
It's process. I don't know why we're doing this.
You're talking hockey, right?
Yeah.
Good point.
Let's get to one more mic drop.
Brad made a good point that Tommy Edman was playing outfield and had a couple good hits that helped with some of those wins, but he could have just been as helpful at third base with an outfielder playing in the outfield. Maybe in L.A., Randy or Lane Thomas catch two of those balls and we win a game that Fowler didn't get to. What's wrong with being in first place by a couple games instead of a half a game, especially this late in the season?
I've been beating the Edman playing third base drum. I'm just saying that he did contribute to some wins in right field. I like the lineup a lot better today than I liked it the last couple of days. I'm with you. Although I still don't... If it's Tommy Edman messing up some plays, I think that's different than Fowler. Fowler's at least an outfielder.
Right.
Has Tommy Edman made a bad play in the outfield?
I don't think so. I think he's like maybe didn't get the best beat on one or two, but overall I think he's been just fine.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't lost him a game with his defense out there, has he?
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, he's been okay.
But I think people would rather see him, and you're going to get to see this exact same thing tonight, him playing at third base as opposed to being in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Which is reasonable.
Yeah. And Randy, I don't think, was even up for the Dodgers series. So I don't know. I don't know if you're going to overcome that 8-0 loss I don't know if Arozarena contributes to 9 runs in that game. The Dodgers are pretty good. Dodgers had some pretty good pitching in that series. So I don't know that those rookies would have been able to overcome Clayton Kershaw on that Tuesday night, I guess it was. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. They could have.
Could have been the next Pete Cosma. He owned Kershaw.
Maybe. You never know. Yeah. And now we never will.
Coming up in the Fast Lane, today on the Kevin Wheeler Show, MLS Commissioner Don Garber gave Wheels a little insight into how he knows what cities are right for expansion. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.